Welcome. It's lovely to see everybody tonight. We are going to do something a little bit different, but that's okay because God is here. God is going to speak to us, and that's really exciting and that's really precious. I just want to ask you a question. It's gone. Ooh, mood lighting. Who's got a New Year's resolution? Anybody? Anybody want to confess? There's a couple of hands. Very hesitant hands. And you knew I was going to come over to you with a microphone. What's your New Year's resolution?
To eat healthily.
To eat healthily. That's a good one. That's a very good one. Anybody else? David's got one.
My one's a bit different in that I sometimes get a quiet day, maybe once a month or so, but I just thought this year I'd try and get a quiet few days away. So that's what I'm looking forward to at some point this year.
Cool. It's good. Yeah, New Year's resolutions, they're everywhere, aren't they? And especially when this kind of climate where, I don't know if you've noticed this, but before Christmas, all the advertising is like, indulge, you deserve it, eat this, eat that, go on, you deserve it, buy this. And then literally, 1st of January, they turn on you like this, they're like, what have you done? How could you do this to yourself? Diet, lose weight, exercise, do all this. And you're like, but you said I was supposed to indulge. It's really hard, isn't it, this environment where it's like, you need to sort yourself out, self-help, and people have these resolutions, and, you know, a lot of them are very, very good, and obviously it's good to eat healthily and all these things, but it's often very hard to keep them as well, isn't it? But it is true, it's an undeniable fact that a new year is a good time to think about your habits and to think about things, the way that you live your life, things that you might want to change, things that you might want to get better at, and we just want to focus tonight on one particular thing. In fact, I think the thing that we here would believe is the most important thing that you could possibly do this year, the thing that will help you the most beyond any other habit that you could grow in or even start, which is to get time in this, which is the Word of God, to get time in the Bible on a daily basis, because this is not just a book. Actually, that's my journal, but this is not just a book. This is the living, breathing Word of God. And there is nothing more precious. I couldn't hold anything more precious in my hand because, you know, this is the way that God chose to reveal himself to us. And in this book, he reveals himself as the God who invites us to call him Father. He reveals himself as the God who invites us to draw near and to bring our problems and to pour out our hearts to him. That's an amazing invitation. And he reveals himself as the God who loves us so much that he would send his Son, his one and only Son, to die for us on the cross, to deal with our mess, to deal with all of our sin, to deal with all our bad habits, so that we can have that relationship with him. Jesus died for us on the cross so that we could have eternal life and freedom from sin, yes. But he also died for us on the cross so that we can have a relationship with God, unbroken freedom in the Father's presence, a relationship with God. And that's not just for a future thing, although we do know that one day Jesus is going to come back and make everything new and we will be with him forever and have that unbroken relationship, and it's going to be glorious and wonderful. But that's for now as well, a real relationship with the real living God. That's the invitation that this book brings us. And as we look at this book, that's how we learn who this God is, not just about who he is, but actually him himself. We get to grasp hold of this fantastic God that we have in this book. So we are going to be watching a short video now that's just going to talk a little bit. It's a man called Bill Hybels. He's quite a well-known pastor in America. A little bit about what it actually looks like in a life where people are doing this, where they're grasping hold of this book and actually taking time on a daily basis to dig into it and to meet with God. So we're just going to watch this video, and then afterwards, myself and Nick and Tim are just going to talk a little bit about practically what that might look like in our day-to-day lives. So I'll just hand over to Ben with the video now.
An advertising executive came down to talk to me after a service, and he had just become a Christian. I had baptized him at the church, he said, I just can't make time for a meeting with God. He said, you have no idea what it's like to commute downtown every day, and you live in a different world. I just can't fit that kind of thing into my life. And I remember looking at this young guy, hard-charging young guy, and I said, here's my experience, and I'm not, you know, I'm only like 24 years old, so there it is. I said, I've always been able to make time for stuff I value. Just how my life works. If I value something, I'll make time to experience it. If I don't, I won't. And I'm making time for a meeting with God in my life. You do it any way you want. And he wasn't too happy with me that day, I don't think. And I didn't see him for a while. And then afterwards, I saw him many months later. And when he came down to talk to me, his countenance was different. He felt different. His conversation was different. And he invited Lynn and me. He and his wife invited Lynn and me to go over to their house for dinner. So we accepted. He lived right in the area. And so we go over to their house. And as we're kind of just having some appetizers beforehand, he takes me over to a rocking chair. And he says, you know how you challenged me to have a meeting with God and to just to make the time? He said, I love rocking chairs, so I bought a good one. And you said that maybe if you're going to make this repeatable and enjoyable, you should look at some scene or vista that you enjoy looking at. And he said, I've got a little backyard here, and I love looking over the backyard. So he said, I just bought this chair, and I put it at my favorite window where I can overlook the backyard. And he said, I got up a half hour earlier, 15, 20 minutes, half hour earlier each day, the last several months. I sit in the chair, I have a cup of coffee, and he goes, I read God's word, I try to make sense of it, I ask him to speak to me by his word, then I meditate on it, reflect it, apply it to my life. Then he said, I write some thoughts down in a journal and I pray that I will be more aware of his presence in my life. And I said, how's that going for you? And his wife jumped in and said, I'll tell you how it's going for him. He's a changed guy. What happens to him when he sits in that chair has changed him. He's more centered. He's a more gentle and loving man in our marriage and to our children. I was very impressed with this, that he could show me his chair, that he had taken the time, that he had fashioned a meeting with God that he looked forward to, because he liked the chair, he liked the view, he liked the coffee, he was a morning guy, and he fell into this pattern. Many months later, I had coffee with him one time, and he said, I'm thinking about leaving my job in advertising. He said, I think I'm done with that. I said, where'd you get these ideas? And he said, well, in my meetings with God in the chair. He's been putting those thoughts in my mind. I said, what are you going to do? And he said, maybe I'll just help you build the church. I said, well, no one's getting paid around here, you know. And he said, well, I've done pretty well in advertising. I can hold on for a while. And maybe if the church grows, you know, then maybe they can help me and my family in some way. And I said, well, you better go back to that chair and see if God's really in this, because I don't want to take responsibility for your life and all this. And he said, okay, I will. And came back about a month later and he said, you know, I gave notice at work. And if it's all the same to you, I'm just going to help you start building the church. You pay me what you can, but it's not a concern of mine. And this guy joined our staff, and I'm telling you, he was a hardworking, energized, joyful, industrious individual that really, really helped our church and was on our staff for many, many years. One of the best staff members in the early days of the church. Then one day he comes into my office and he said, you know, I still do that meeting with God in that chair, that rocking chair. And he said, God's been stirring in my life in my meetings with God. And he said, a friend of mine's starting a brand new church in Colorado. And I think I'm going to pack my family up and move to Colorado. I said, can they support you? He said, no, I'm going to have to go back into the marketplace and make some money because they can't afford anything. And I said, are you ready to do that? And he said, you know, every morning I talk to God about it. And he said, I'm really fired up about it. So we said goodbye to him and he packed his family up and he went out and he went back into advertising, made a lot of money and gave most of it to the startup church. And it became a fantastic church. And then in that same chair that he moved out to Colorado, sitting at a window in the morning like he had done for many, many years now, he processed a bad medical report he got from the doctor that cancer had come his way. And he kept working and he kept supporting that church. And he got sicker and sicker. It was a very fast-spreading kind of cancer. And then he was hospitalized. And one of the great losses he felt when he was in the hospital is that he didn't have his chair. And he died. quite soon thereafter, and I did his funeral in Colorado. And I was talking to his widow, his wife, at the funeral reception afterwards. I said, that was something about that chair, wasn't it? She said, his whole life changed in that chair. I said, what are you going to do with the chair? And she said, we are going to pass that chair on to our children and on to our grandchildren in the hopes that someone would sit in it like Tom did and have their life transformed. Simple question, gang. Where's your chair? Where do you meet with God? Where do you reflect on his word and open yourself to his power? Where do you become aware of his presence in your life? Where is that? And some of you go, well, you know, I mean, I don't have a nice backyard to look out on. It doesn't work for me. The thing about the unlimited presence of God is that you can meet with him anywhere. Your chair can be anywhere. When we first started, Lynn and I first started taking our summer study breaks in South Haven, that little town on the other side, we rented a one-bedroom cottage in the summer times. And so it was chaos with two kids and in that cottage. So I would leave and I would go to the Burger King in the morning for 30, 40, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. First booth on the right when you come in the door, Main Street in South Haven. I did that little practice for 9 years. Fiberglass booth in a Burger King. I made some of the most important ministry and personal decisions in my life. Fiberglass booth in a Burger King. To this day, when I drive by that Burger King, I look at it and I go, man, God met me there. There's a carpenter in this church that meets with God every morning in the front seat of his pickup truck, brings a thermos of coffee and his Bible. Half hour before the construction starts, he just sits in the front seat of his pickup truck, absorbs the word of God, meets with God, surrenders himself with God, to God, asks for direction in his life. A young mom that I know goes to Starbucks whenever she can. Corner table, meets with God. Where's your chair? When you meet with a friend, let's say for a lunch, what happens is, if you've connected with that friend, after you leave the restaurant or wherever it is, you think about that friend later on in the afternoon. When you meet with God, you think about him more throughout the course of your day. His presence lingers after the meeting. Where's your chair?
Okay. So where's your chair is the question. I'm just going to invite Nick and Tim up to join us. I'll just grab some chairs. Great. Thanks for joining us, guys. Brilliant. For anyone who doesn't know, Nick is part of the team that leads the youth work here at the church and is a big part of the Encounter team as well. And Tim is one of the elders at the church and does a lot of the preaching and, well, a lot, really. So very honoured to have you guys both with us tonight. So we're just going to explore a little bit for each of us, actually, what it looks like practically to be getting this time with God, just because, you know, it's helpful to talk about these things, isn't it? So my first question really is where is your chair? Yes, where is your chair other than directly beneath you?
Fantastic. It really depends on the weather, actually. Because I actually live on site, so I have the glorious joy of being able to get down to the beach when the weather's good. So I often go for a walk down there. Otherwise, it is a chair in my room. But I love to go down the beach. I think the reason why I like to go down there is it just something about looking out in the ocean sort of gives you a sense of perspective, sort of humbles you. But also, actually, a lot of what you read in the Bible is often Jesus by the shore. So I can kind of sort of reimagine what it kind of would have been like, if that makes sense. So that is a place that I try and go regularly. Apart from that, I like, when I'm at home in Cumbria, I like to go walking on the mountains and up high. So, yeah.
I kind of really related to that guy with the chair looking out in the garden, because I often just sit on the sofa just overlooking our back garden and have had some amazing meetings with God. It's I'm in a slightly different stage of life, so I have children as well. Sometimes my children are already up, and so I stay in my bedroom. sometimes my children come and join me in that time as well, and we end up having a shared kind of time of just meeting with God. But it's such a key part of what it means to walk with God, to be able to, it's amazing to be able to hear God every day. And it's been a joy. I've had times in my life where I've neglected it, and I've really suffered as a result. And I've had other times where I've really been walking closely with God and hearing God every day, and it is such a blessing to have that. So I tend to, kind of have a chair in my house. But I also have times where I kind of go off and walk. I really kind of relate to that sense you have, Nick, of needing to be outside and kind of connecting with what God has made, and that being a really helpful thing particularly as I pray. It's harder to kind of read your Bible when you're walking, but it's a great thing to be able to pray in those times, I find.
And what would that look like for you, that time when you're in your chair or on your walk? Or do you have a particular way that you do things, that you spend that time? How long would you spend? What would it look like?
Just one thing before, is when I became a Christian, I was a chef, and I was meeting up with Philip, one of the elders here, and he said, are you spending time? Have you got that time with God? And I said, well, I don't really have the time. And he just said, okay, so how long does it take for you to drive to work? And I said, 40 minutes. And he said, you've got 40 minutes there. And so I used to use my car journey as an opportunity to spend, though obviously I wasn't reading, just to, to highlight, I wasn't trying to read my Bible and drive, but I would just use that time to pray. So what was your...
That's really helpful, though. Okay. It's really good to be able to look at your day and think, I need to set time aside for God, but also what time can I reclaim, like times when I'm traveling and stuff like that. And there's so much that you can do now with like apps and stuff like that, so you can be listening to the Bible as you travel, which is it's a really good time. And you can also sing while you're driving, which is
People think you've got Bluetooth on, so you can sort of get away with it. And in terms of what I do, to be honest with you, what I do in my time it has really changed quite a lot. I think I go through seasons where I read a lot. I go through a time when I read less and maybe pray more. There's times when I just look at just one passage maybe for a whole week. I generally just... I'm a little bit more flexible with what I do in my time. But normally, time-wise, it's about, maybe 15-something minutes, something like that. But again, that does depend,
I find the most helpful thing to think about when thinking about having time with God, and particularly time with God's word, is to remember that the God's word is described as food. And I can't remember if it was David or someone else saying that it's really good to have it's really good to chew your food. Yeah? Do you ever remember being told that when you were young? Yeah? Don't forget to chew your food. And someone said to me, whoever it was, said, make sure you've always got something to chew on for the day. So whatever I do, whether I'm reading a lot or reading a small amount, I always try and have something that I'm taking away from that time. I normally have about half an hour in the morning. And I always try and have something that I take away, something that I can chew on, that I can come back to, that I can think about for that day. I don't have to remember yesterday's thing that I was chewing on. I don't know if you can remember what you ate yesterday. Probably can't. But you can probably remember what you ate for lunch. Yeah, today? Maybe you can't. and I think that's a really helpful thing that I've found, is if you can have something that you're chewing on for the day, something that you can come back to, maybe you're in a moment of crisis, something's going wrong at school or at work, Or you have a moment on your own where you just go, oh yeah, God, you, there was that thing that I was chewing on about how much you love me. Oh, thank you for that amazing truth. Thank you that I'm secure. Thank you that even though that person is not being loving towards me, Lord, thank you that you love me. And those sort of things can be tremendously helpful. So try and have something to chew on. The other thing I find really helpful is having a morning and an evening rhythm. So a lot of people talk about these sort of times with God as being, oh, I have a time with God and then it's, that's done, I've done tick box. And I've been like that sometimes. Have I ticked my box? But actually, God invites us to do life with him. And so you can just talk with God any time of the day and meet with him. But I find it really helpful at the beginning of the day to start with God. And I find it really helpful, especially at the end of the day, to kind of lay stuff down and say, God, there's this thing. Can I give this to you? There's this thing's happened today. I need to give this to you. And that's a really helpful rhythm. And I found I often use set prayers, especially in the evening when I've got a little bit more time, that I, you know, just help me pray for things that I might not pray for. And I use Bible reading notes, and I use I use stuff on my phone as well as stuff that are kind of devotional material as well. So all kinds of stuff I use at different times.
I just want to quickly pick up some. I think, you know, we're talking about reading the Bible. One of the things that you may have this question, you know, at times you're like, where is God? You know, where is God in this situation? Where is God in that family situation? Or where is God in my life? And I think it's a question, as you follow Jesus, you do have that question at times. And I've discovered, as you read the Bible, because and Blaise Pascal said, you know, God created man in his own inner image, and man often, you know, returns the favor in that sense. We think Jesus will respond like this, or we think Jesus will be in this situation but won't be in that situation. The way to find out what God is like is to look at the Gospels and to see how he interacts with people, to see how he spends time with people, to see how he brings healing, or maybe where he may delay healing. You know, when you read the Gospels, you start to discover how God is and how God operates in people's lives. And then when you start to live that out in the day, you start to actually see God at work. You start to say, oh yes, that's how you do things. That's how, you know, you may call me to be patient. And so I find that really helpful. That's one of the reasons why I love reading the Bible, because it just helps me see God at work in my own life, because I've seen what he's done in the past and what he's able to do now. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's so helpful, actually. I've often found in my own life that when I've been in a place where I felt more distant from God, I'm going to turn on a bit. Where I felt more distant from God, actually, I often go to John's Gospel. It's like my kind of my medicine. If I feel like I'm far, if I feel like I'm distant from God, I'm going to read John's Gospel and just remind myself who Jesus is. And you know, whatever stage you're in, whether you feel like you're going really strong with God, or you're struggling, or you are just thinking, I don't really know where to start. Like, the Gospels are such a good place to start, because that is how God reveals himself to us through Jesus. So if you want to meet with God, find out who Jesus is, and you see that most clearly in the Gospels. My own quiet times, I'm a morning person, so I tend to do them in the morning. I have a corner sofa now, so the best seat for my chair is right in the corner, which is lovely because I can see the hillside through the window. Something that I've done for a number of years, which doesn't suit everybody, but I keep a journal, which is what I was brandishing around a minute ago, it's over there. So it's not necessarily like I have to write in this every day, but I start my quiet time by writing down just what I've seen God doing the previous day, maybe things that have been challenging, and then also writing about things that I'm praying for the day that's coming and things like that. And then praying through those things. And for me, it doesn't suit everybody, but for me, the wonderful thing about writing a journal is that every year I get to read through it and see what God's done. So I did that just a few days ago, and it's really incredible to look at it and see God is so faithful, because I can see my whole year he's been there the whole time. And every year at the beginning of the year I pray prayers for the year and then write them down, and I'm always really excited to get to the start of January so I can look back and see how he's answered those particular prayers. So if you're the kind of person that you feel like you could do that, actually journaling can be a really good way of doing that. So normally, yeah, I'd spend a bit of time in my journal and I'd pray, and then I'd read some of the Bible. I've just finished doing the Bible in 2 years, which I found really, really good. So I don't know if you've come across the Bible in 1 year. The Bible in 1 year can be a fantastic thing to do. I personally have chosen not to do it at this point in time, because I find the reading the Bible bit much easier than the praying bit. And so if I have a really, really long bit of Bible, then my whole quiet time will be spent just reading the Bible. And I'll read it and I'll be like, good, tick, I've done that. I've done my X number of chapters for the day. And, I've run out of time, so I can't actually pray. Whereas I know that I need to have that time to pray as well. And actually, I found that the Bible in 2 years has been a bit easier to manage. And I also haven't. It means I know sometimes people, when they do 1 year, if they get behind a little bit, they suddenly stress out and it feels like, oh no, and then they give up entirely. Whereas, so it's just being aware that if you might have heard people talk about the Bible in 1 year and think, oh, I must do that. And obviously, it's a really good thing to do. But don't feel pressured to do that. You've got to do it in a way that means you're meeting with God. The most important thing is you're meeting with God. You're getting that food from his word, and that will look different at different seasons in your life. Sometimes it will look like reading large chunks, sometimes it will look like just taking a tiny bit and chewing over that. So the next question is, have there been, hopefully there have, but any key points in your life where God has really spoken to you in those times?
Can I answer a different question first?
Yes.
My own question. I'm just aware that often people can feel guilty when you start talking about having devotional times, quiet times, especially if you're not having them, or if you set yourself a target and then you fail. And I think it's just really important just to really be clear that the thing that makes us right with God is not us taking time daily with God. It's what Jesus has done for us. The thing with spending time with God daily is it's a privilege. And it's actually, there's these extraordinary promises for life in God's word. That if you take hold of them, life is transformed. Your life will be changed. And so you miss out if you don't. You know, it's not a salvation issue. Jesus is the one who saves us. What he's done. But you miss out. There are promises in here that are absolutely extraordinary. And sometimes we can face problems and we can end up despairing in the face of problems instead of knowing real peace. And I guess in answer to your question then, have there been significant times? There are significant times all the time in my experience. Whenever I am reading God's word, it is a tremendous help. Just this weekend, I think I was sharing just this morning, Exodus 14:14. That just happened to be where I was in the scripture yesterday. And it's this time when God's people are like, this is just terrible. Life is very difficult, impossible situation. And God says to them, he says, don't worry, I will fight for you. You just need to be still. And for me at the moment, I really needed to hear that, where there's some challenging stuff happening that just, I needed God to speak to me, and God spoke to me very powerfully just yesterday through that verse. And so in answer to your question, there are tons of times in terms of what I've done with my life, the decisions I make, who I married, all sorts of things. I think when I think about my life, I think every time I'm reading my Bible, God is speaking to me. What a shame that sometimes I've missed that. I think that is the answer.
Just actually last week, I went to college to do a study block, and I went on the Monday with just this ton of concerns that I have, you know, family stuff, essays, you know, I'm in my final year, and just that overwhelmed me. God, where do I start? Where do I start to pray for these things? And I came to this passage, and it's a wonderful story where Jesus, the disciples are there in such fear and worry that they've locked all the doors. Jesus has just been crucified, and they're probably fearing for their life. And Jesus steps in, the resurrected Jesus, and he doesn't tell them off. He doesn't say, you guys left me, you know, or he doesn't have a go at Peter for promising to be there with him but didn't. he says these words. He says, peace, peace be with you. And as I read that, I was just like, that list of worries, I was like, I don't have to tell you, Jesus, you know what they are. You just want me to hear that very little word, peace be with you. And that's why these times with God can be so incredibly significant. As you read the passages, you start to hear things, you start to see things, how Jesus interacts with his friends, and we're his friend. And so, yeah, that was just a significant time last week. But again, with Tim, you know, I think it's just been numerous times, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I would testify to the same thing. Yesterday, this morning, on the bus on the way here, there were words of scripture that were encouraging me and giving me the strength to do things. Before Christmas, we were having a busy time and we were moving house, and I was just absolutely clinging on to Psalm 62. Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. And my salvation and my honor depend on God. He's my mighty rock, my refuge. These are incredible words, incredible promises. And yeah, I don't know what I would do without having that to come to. Just another thing as well, another thought, something that is really, really helpful, and it kind of ties in with what you were saying about chewing things over, is memorizing scripture, which is, you know, it is hard, but it's so helpful. And I've often found that when I have done it, it's been for a short time. So I've memorized a bit of scripture that's really helped me over a period of time, a particular thing that's going on. And then, you know, a month later, I can't remember it anymore. And ideally, I would hope one day I'd be able to build a store of things that I can remember more long term. But actually, sometimes that's okay. That I'm sort of holding on to particular things for a particular time, but memorizing scripture so that, you know, when you find yourself at the top of a hilltop, you can, even if you haven't got your Bible with you, you can cry out the words, or you can just go over them in your head. You know, he is my rock and my refuge. He is my rock and my refuge. And know that they are the words of God and the promises of God. Have you got any other sort of practical tips for your quiet times or getting time with God?
I think one of the things that has really helped me as I read the Bible is to realize, I think one of the things can be really daunting is, where do you start? It seems quite a big book, and if you have started to read it, you probably start to realize that bits of it are maybe more interesting than others, bits of it a bit more confusing than others, I think it's really helpful to understand that this book was not written in one day, but it was written over a long period of time, and it has different genres. What we mean by that is it has like letters in there, it has like narrative, like a sort of a biography, like the Gospels, there is sort of prophecies in there, so it's all very different, and that's really helpful to understand it. Also, something that I like to remind myself is that, you know, it wasn't written to us as such. You know, like the letters, they weren't written to us. You know, I didn't receive that letter, but the Bible was written for us in the sense that God has brought this Bible about so that we can have it and understand what he's like and how he is. And so another thing is just realize, you know, these things happened. You know, when I talked about that story about Jesus and the disciples, it happened. It was it happened in history, and that's really helpful. I think it's really exciting at times when you read these stories and you're like, wow, this is pretty cool. If they made a film out of this, you know, I think it'd be pretty popular. And so as you read it, remember these things did happen in a time and in a place that has huge meaning, not only for those people but for you as well. So just get stuck in, and I think the Gospels are a great place to go because the time gap is less than the Old Testament to us. But yeah, practical tips.
Okay, just one, and that is to just remember that God wants to speak to you. And so ask the question, God, what are you saying to me? God, this isn't just information. This is the living God wants to speak to you. Let's just remember that. So you can, any point, you get home tonight and you can open God's word and you can say, God, what do you want to say to me? Living God. And that's very exciting. So all of those other bits of advice are really helpful, but don't forget that God wants to speak to you ultimately.
And we've got a little gift for anyone who would like it. And that is a book, it's called enjoying your prayer life, and I guess you've noticed that this reading the Bible and praying is kind of something you kind of end up doing together. It naturally goes together. So if you would like this little book, it sort of explains how to go about it, what it's like. It will say a lot more than what we have. Then please do come and grab me at the end, and we're happily give you one of these. So yeah, I thought I'd just plug that there and then before we forget.
Yeah, and there's other resources as well that you can freely get, like the YouVersion Bible app, which you can get on your phone, have the Bible with you all the time. You can, it has lots of devotional things on it that you can do, reading plans, stuff like that. And that's a fantastic resource. It also reads out aloud to you. I think I said that earlier. So you can sort of do it on the move. There's all sorts of things, available to you. But the most important of the things that is available to you is the Spirit of God who wants to meet with you, as Tim was saying. So I think that would probably be a good place to come to a close. So thank you so much, Tim and Nick. Let's show our appreciation. So we're just going to spend a little bit of time now responding to that. There was quite a lot in there, quite a lot of different things. I hope there was something in there that perhaps captured your attention. Oh, thanks, Tim. God was speaking to you, and actually the band are going to come up and they're going to play for a bit, and I'm just going to encourage us to spend this time going, thinking and praying, God, what is it that you want to say to me through this? What habits do you want me to change or to take up? And all of this, remember what Tim said, God loves you. God loves you because he loves you. He doesn't love you because you spend X number of minutes with him every morning, but because he loves you, it is a joy and a privilege to spend minutes with him in the morning, all day, in fact. And I really think that I've seen it in my own life, I've seen it in so many people's lives. There is nothing more precious than your daily walk with God, whatever that looks like for you. And it mustn't be something that causes you guilt and anxiety. But also, please don't miss out on it. Please don't miss out on this opportunity that is available to you, because God loves you and has chosen to draw you to him and wants to spend that time with you. So I'm just going to pray. So if you just want to close your eyes. Father, thank you that you love us. Thank you that we know that is true because you have shown it to us in your word. You've shown it to us through your son. Thank you that we can stand here today and say we are loved by the living God. And Lord God, if there's somebody in here today who doesn't know that deep in their very soul, that they are loved by you, would you just reveal that to them this evening by your Spirit? Would you just touch them with your love right now? If that's you and you're feeling like that, you might want to just put your hands out in front of you. Even if you just want more of God's love right now, Lord God, would you just come and move among us, assure us of your love. And thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word. Thank you that we have the privilege of holding it in our hands. Thank you that we live in a country where we can freely open it in public and in private. And Lord, would you help us not to take that for granted? I pray that you would excite us about your word. I pray that you would help us to seek time with you, whatever time of day that is. Not so that you would love us more, but because you love us. Help us to be those that can truly say that your word is the most precious thing to them, more precious than all the gold and silver in the world. Lord, we also ask that you would help us to do this, because we know that it's hard and we can't do it in our own strength, and we know that we can't keep New Year's resolutions, but Lord God, by your Spirit, we can. By your Spirit, we can grow in our understanding of the word. We can spend that time with you. We can grow in our delight for who you are. Lord, would you just come and be speaking to us now by your Spirit. Thank you for your tender touch.